I want to take you to New York tonight, so to speak. I want to take you through Los Angeles. I'm going to go the long way around, because I think if we go from here to Los Angeles and then to New York, by the time we get to our punchline, your hearts will just light with fire. I want you to get it. So I'm going to make a lengthy introduction to make my point, and I think it'll be helpful to you. I feel led to do it this way. If I told you who I was, if you didn't know me, and I explained all the details of my family tree, that I'm a mother and a grandmother, I'm an aunt and a niece, a wife, and then I tell you all about my family, who's who does what where, who lives where, you couldn't possibly capture it all. And we have a very simple family. Don't have too many unusual things that have happened over the years. You eventually know, but it might take you several tries to know who I am. And I tell you where my grandmother's from, where my other grandmother's from, both gone now, where my grandfather's from, where my aunt lives, and where my uncle lives, and who my grandchildren are. There's a lot to know. Now, people that have known me a long time don't remember all those things. They've heard a lot of those things, and they'll say, I said, no, that's the wrong grandmother. Because it's complicated. Well, God is great big. Do you know that? Huh? Did y'all have a hard day at work? You did? You're going to make it, though, right? God is great big. And when God began to talk about himself, he called himself by different names, and he called himself by different names in the lives of different people. He used the name that would express the element of his character that they needed to hear. Abraham knew God as El Shaddai, the God who's more than enough. He also knew God as Jehovah Jireh. Gideon knew God as Jehovah Shalom, but Joshua knew God as Jehovah Nissi. And God has many, many names, so many names that books have been published, one called The Names of God, which are excellent reading. God did this because he is so big, he begins to explain who he is and all he can do, and he does it progressively. So the more scripture you read, the further you get in the Bible, the more you know about God, the more you know about what he can do. Each name expresses some aspect of who God is and what God's going to do. Each name that you would call me would express some aspect of who I am and how I relate to those people. For instance, my aunt in Sarasota. If I tell you I'm a niece and tell you about my aunt, you understand the kind of relationship that we have. If I told you about my grandchildren, you'd understand the kind of relationship that we have. They have a particular relationship based upon that characteristic. Well, God has many, many different aspects of his personality, and for you to understand those aspects, he begins to share those one thing at a time, one name at a time. And in the Old Testament, God begins to unravel. It's kind of like blowing up a balloon, and you begin to see the big picture. It gets bigger and bigger and bigger, or put together a puzzle, and you have a piece here, you have El Shaddai here, and you join El Shaddai to Jehovah Jireh, and then you join Jehovah Jireh to Jehovah Nissi, and all of the names of God, multiple names of God, come together, and you begin to see the big God, how big he is, the multiple picture. Now, when God calls himself Jehovah Shalom, that's the God of peace. The word Jehovah means the self-existent one. The one who was and is to come. The self-existent one, the one who always was. These seven names are listed because they're called redemptive names. These are names of Jehovah that come to you, that belong to you because of the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Every one of these characteristics and aspects of God's personality are secured by Jesus' blood. They're called redemptive names. Redemptive names. The self-existent one reveals himself and secures by blood for you these things. Now, Jehovah Shalom is the God of peace, the Lord of peace. Jehovah Shalom was the name he gave to Gideon. God sent the angel to Gideon to tell Gideon he was going to deliver people of Israel from the Midianites, and Gideon didn't think he was qualified. He said, oh, no, I'm the least in my family. In other words, you've picked the wrong one, God. I'm not the one to do that. He didn't realize he was talking to an angel. After he found out he had a big job to do and he didn't think he could do it, then he found out he was talking to an angel. He became very, very frightened. And God said, no, peace. Have peace. Have peace. And Gideon, the peace of God came upon Gideon in such measure, he called that place the place of Jehovah Shalom, the place where the Lord of peace appeared to him. God is a God of peace, and he wants you to have peace. Now, redemptive names are always secured and anchored in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. All of these things are for everybody, because everything the blood does is for everybody. For God so loved the world that whosoever, what? Whosoever. Who? Whosoever. So where the blood was shed, anybody who will receive the work of the blood can have that characteristic. Now look at Colossians, and let me show you that the peace of God is anchored in blood, that the God of peace comes to you because of shed blood. Colossians 1:20 is very, very clear. It couldn't be clearer. And having made peace through the blood of his cross. How did he make peace?